This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
I'm just going to ask it. Are the Rockies good? I mean, they're 37-90. They weren't good, but they're kind of good right now. I mean, they just beat the Dodgers again, 8-3, and Shohei Ohtani's pitching, Michael. I have to ask the question. I'm joking, kind of, but kind of not. Since the All-Star break, this team has played really well. Yeah, they had the 8-game losing streak. But aside from that, this has been a good baseball team. What have they won? Five out of their last six. They've won 8 out of their last 10. I mean, that is pretty darn good, Mike.
Coming from a non-baseball expert, so take this for what it's worth. I wouldn't call them a good baseball team. I would call them a streaking baseball team, but this is looking very positive.
You can be, like, we see this all the time. Were the Cincinnati Bengals a good football team last year? I mean, they became a better team. Their defense was awful. But we all said it. If they can get into the playoffs, they're going to be dangerous. You can be bad 50% of the season, 60%, whatever. And suddenly you find your groove. Young players start to get better. That's what we're seeing in this. I mean, these guys, this whole crew last night was amazing. I mean, Bernabéu, slow as a turtle, man. I thought the other night he slid to second base, and I thought he was going to stop like before he got to the base. But he's been good. Mickey Moniak has really come on. You're starting to see Doyle play like he did last year. Ritter. Arcia. I mean, Arcia's not young, but he's playing well. Beck's been good. Hunter Goodman, obviously a stud. Freeman has been good. Tanner was right. That trade is looking phenomenal for Nolan Jones. You're just starting to see a group, I don't know, that's buying in. I know that sounds cliche, but Warren Schaefer, sign me up. I said it yesterday, and 2 days ago I said it might be a game-by-game basis. I feel like, yes, he's the guy. Tanner talked about it this morning on Good Morning NoCo. There's an intensity about him that wasn't there with Bud Black. I mean, there's that commercial that runs during the Rockies games of him like working out and how cool that is for his players. See, we talk about it all the time with Ed Lamb for the football team. They see him. I don't know if it's a mental thing or if it's just younger guys are playing better. Doyle has been playing better at a different level. For most of the season, it was Hunter Goodman that was really the only thing. I mean, and that's the thing. Like, Go Pokes just text in. If they're not good, they're dang sure fun. That's what we were begging for 3 months ago. Was, can you at least light it up, light up the scoreboard? If you're going to be bad at pitching, light up the scoreboard. And last night, and I know Shohei Ohtani like got banged up, glad he's okay, but they handled Shohei Ohtani. He pitched 4 innings last night. He allowed 5 runs, only 3 strikeouts for him. I'm watching this team and I'm astonished. They're not going to go on and like put on a, what do they got, 30-some games left, 35, I don't know. No, I don't see them getting to suddenly, what was their over, 59? That would be a phenomenal run. I think they need to, you know, 23 more game wins. I don't see that happening, but then again, you have a 72-55 Dodgers team that you guaranteed to split the series with now. You could win it today. I mean, Kershaw's pitching. He's been pitching well. But you have your young buck and Dolander pitching tonight, or today. We're carrying that game at 12:30. It's just a team worth paying attention to for what they might be able to do next season. I know, yeah, I've been listening around different media outlets, and it's still pretty negative, and it's, like you said, it's a streaking team. They weren't capable of doing this 2 months ago. We didn't see anything like this 2 months ago. And now, aside from, and I know it's weird to say, aside from an 8-game losing streak, but aside from that, this has been an above 500 baseball team. They were 23-74 to start this, to start after the All-Star break. They're 37-90. They're about a 500 baseball team. So I don't know, man. And Warren Schaefer, and that would be the weird part too, is if you do fire Schmidt, wouldn't this be the time where maybe, and I've been yelling for it, but I'm not so sure anymore, guys. This is what happens. If you can finish your season on a very positive note for several weeks, then do you make changes? Because the moves that Schmidt has made, they seem to be working out for the Colorado Rockies at this point. And I know when you lose, you have 3 years of 100 losses, because, yeah, they're going to lose. They're still going to lose 100. They're at 90. They're not going to avoid 10 more losses. It's hard to tell the fans, yeah, we're going to stay, you know, status quo. But if you see this team, I don't know, finish the season at 47, maybe even 50 wins from what we saw, I'm kind of more on the mindset of keep this going for one more season. Go ahead, Michael.
Well, if you're going to review the GM's job and say, okay, fire him or not fire him, look at the decisions that he's made, the positive ones. Are those positive decisions for just this year, or do those positive decisions affect next year and years to come? Because that's really what I'm evaluating. I'm going,
sure.
Yeah, the past is the past, but what's going on now, right now, looks pretty special. Is this a streaking team, or is this a team on the rise, and this is a team with a future? And have those recent decisions from the GM, are they future decisions? If they are, then keep the man.
Yeah.
If they're just temporary,
the guys that are playing well, and like Austin Gomber, they didn't put up, you know, he put that thing out about he can't find himself, he's mentally lost when he's out there pitching. Like, yeah, he's been sent down. So look at the youth. Like, you're going to see Chase Dolander tonight. He's 23 years old. Jaden Hill came in a couple of games ago right up against Shohei Ohtani, helped the Rockies win that game. He's 25. Victor Potato Vodnik is 25. Tanner Gordon's 27. I mean, you're seeing a lot of the younger players, you know, show out, and it's really cool. Kyle Karros, he's 23 years old. Ryan Ritter's 24. I mean, Tovar, 24. You got Fernandez, 22. Jordan Beck, I like Jordan Beck. He's 24. I mean, it's a very young crew. Yeah, well, Kenny Swamy, I was just going there. The fact that they cut Gomber after the comments he made is another great decision by Schmidt. Shows the rest of the team that that's not acceptable. It's 100%, like, I feel for the guy. But this is professional sports. Austin Gomber, his quote, he said, I feel like I'm in a tough spot right now. I felt like I let the team down. I feel like I'm a little bit lost out there right now. I don't really have any confidence, conviction. I don't have an identity of what I'm trying to do. That's not just, doggone it, man. You'll get it. You'll figure it out. We're loyal. We're going to work with you. No, bye-bye. This isn't acceptable. You're playing bad, and now you're coming out telling us that you're lost out there. This isn't the Little League. This isn't high school baseball. You know, attaboy. You'll get it. You know, just support him. This is professional baseball. This is other people's livelihoods that you're messing with. So you have to cut a guy like that. You have to move him down.
If he's lost out there, then he needs to, on his own, go out and find a psychologist or a therapist or someone who specializes in athletes and get that taken care of.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not up to the team manager to do this. It's not up to the general manager. It's up to him to find himself.
Right, and that's not do that on your own time. So they placed on outright waivers officially. So I'm applauding what I'm seeing, and it's really hard to say that when they are a 37-90 baseball team. But there's no question, and Warren Schaefer is a rookie manager. So he was thrown in to this situation that was already very bad. I don't think any of us are going to sit here and say that, but that they'd be playing better baseball if Bud Black was still the manager of this team. Schaefer has found something. And I'm not sure what that is. If it's a mental thing, if it's a buy-in thing, or if it's simply just a growth thing. Like Doyle was not good offensively for a good portion of the year. I believe he had some personal things going on. And he's been playing much better. He's always an outstanding outfielder. So you're just starting to see more guys go along with this team that might turn out to be pretty good players. And so when I bring up the age thing, that's why it's important to your question. Is this just a for the now moment? These are a bunch of 30-year-olds that are suddenly just getting red hot? No, these are a bunch of mid-20 to under to lower 20s that are gaining confidence and playing better baseball.
It helps that Warren Schaefer is a youthful. He's 40, but compared to Bud Black, he's youthful. So it helps that you have a younger guy who can probably identify more with these younger players than Bud Black, who was probably identified better with the older players. He was more old school, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah. And he was the that's baseball guy. You know, that was his response every time they would lose or something would happen. That's baseball. But a series of moves the Rockies have made. I think obviously trading Ryan McMahon for prospects is a good idea because you weren't going to do anything with Ryan McMahon. I mean, you're not doing anything right now, so why hold on to guys that maybe are passing their prime in their career, but you might be able to get a little value for them. Probably should have traded him last year. But this just strikes me as a team that might be, for once, figuring it out. And we'll see. I mean, we still do have a fair amount of baseball left. But you got today against the Dodgers. If you win that series, then you go to Pittsburgh. And we saw it in that series against Pittsburgh. They won that. And Pittsburgh's not a great baseball team. And then you have Houston. And you have Chicago, San Fran. I mean, these are... I don't know. I mean, would we be... If they win 40... Let's just say they win 10 more games. Which wouldn't be phenomenal in this stretch if you have 30-some games left. But if you get to the 50-win mark, they were at 23 wins on July 18th. And in about a month, they've improved that to 37 wins. That seemed impossible 2 months ago. That's the idea of our goofy little beard hair bet. Got my hair cut, by the way. Thanks for noticing, Mike.
I noticed, but... You were in meetings all morning.
So most people weren't really joking when they were saying, you guys aren't going to shave your face until September, like the 10th of September.
That was my joke.
Yeah, and a lot of people really believed that. So they're getting hot right now, and it's exciting to see because they're the butt of everybody's jokes. They've been the butt of my jokes. I get it. But you call it like you see it. Like I said, we bring logic to the show. And if you're bad, which they were before the All-Star break, they were very bad. But then when you start to improve and you're beating teams like the Dodgers, like the Diamondbacks, they own St. Louis. They knocked them out, man. So I'm just encouraged with what we're seeing. Now, the 8-game losing streak was awful. You know, Toronto put up a bazillion runs against them. But then you get out of that. You could have hung your head and just, let's just limp it through, you know, Cabo on three, that kind of thing. That's not what this team's doing. They're trying to avoid bad history. And they're what? Five wins away from that. Five more wins. They'll get that. They're going to get that. They're not going to be the worst baseball team in history. So I'm excited. We had Jerry Schimmel on yesterday, and he talked a lot about that too, just about seeing the young guys on this team start to grow, start to get confident. It's exciting. Kyle Karros, you know, his dad, great baseball player. I mean, he was on the broadcast the other day talking about, and I don't know why. I mean, yeah, it seems like it's a just coach speak kind of deal, but hearing Eric Karros on the broadcast, he's like, you know, I know the record doesn't show it, but this team does seem like they're moving in the right direction, and I'm really excited that Kyle Karros is hopefully going to be a part of this long term. It does feel like there's a little bit of a switch in the air. They don't get to their over, do they? There's no way, right? They'd have to win 23 games to get to 59 wins. They're at 37. I'd say you have to at least be at like 43 to wrap up the month, and then you go on another run. But I don't see that happening. But if you win this series against the Dodgers, you take a lot of confidence the rest of the way. Handle Pittsburgh, you're going to be in the 40s. I've enjoyed watching this, and I'll admit, like, the beard hair thing was kind of a sad joke that we were doing it for 35 wins, but it got me engaged. More so than I normally am checking out of Rockies baseball, but we've got preseason games this weekend, one more weekend of preseason. I might find myself switching over to watching, you know, Rockies baseball a little bit more. I know you, well, yeah, you look like a Bronco threw up on you. You're going to be watching the Broncos. I get that, and I will too, but when do they play? Saturday?
They do.
Rockies at Pittsburgh, 4:40 on Saturday afternoon. There's a reason to watch, because I think not only are they going to not be the worst team in baseball, I think they're going to turn this out in this back half of the season. I think they're going to find 50 wins. I think it's very possible. Go ahead, Michael.
You will be able to watch the Broncos and their glorious victory at 11 a.m. on Saturday.
Oh, there
and
you go.
Then you can watch the Rockies. Okay. At 4:40.
Yeah, perfect.
And their hopeful victory against
You got college football going on too. So, I mean, I'm probably going to watch college football. Like, I love football. On this show, typically we do football and basketball. That's just what we talk about the most. Whether it's the Nuggets and the Broncos, or it's the NFL, or it's the Rams, or it's whatever, college football. I'm a big college football guy. All of it, the politics around it, the rules that are changing, it's all very fascinating to me. But the Rockies are giving me a reason for the first time in a long time, even on their playoff runs, like that was kind of exciting. But seeing the youth on this team and going, maybe. You know, Tanner texted and said, these were the guys I've been talking about for a couple of years. And it's true. Tanner predicts that the Rockies are going to be in the playoffs next year. I don't know about that, but the trajectory that they are on today would speak very well to that point. And again, it could all go to hell. They could get blown out today. They could lose the series to Pittsburgh, and then suddenly we're right back to, okay, well, maybe they were just streaking and they got hot for once, because even bad baseball teams find a way to win, you know, a stretch of games. We talked about that early in the season.
Yeah, the Rockies had like an 8-game win streak last June, I think, and continued to be bad. I think the Rockies just need to take it in steps. We have to understand Rockies are going to take it in steps. What's the next step? Get to 40. What's the next step? Not be historically bad. What's the next step? Try to get to 50. What's the next step? The off season.
Yeah, I mean, on August 21st last year, they were a 47 win team. They were 35-63. At the All-Star break, or 34-63 at the All-Star break. So they're catching up with at least where they were last year, which was bad. You know what but then look how they ended the season last year. I mean, I think they won like four games in September. No, they won a few in September, but they at the end, like from September 18th, they won two games the rest of the way and they were at 59-94 on September 18th. They ended the season 61-101. So I'm looking for the opposite of that to end the season. They're not, like, they're playing good baseball right now. If they finish this season, find they're not going to get 61, but I would say if they get to, like, 51, you would look at that and go, yeah, this team is on the right path.
Is it weird of me to think of baseball like a kicker? Like, when you're hot, you're making everything, and when you miss one, like, 35-yarder, suddenly you start missing a bunch of kicks. I don't know. Like, kickers in the NFL just have this weird mental thing, and baseball's kind of the same way.
I just
can't hit the zone.
You start getting confident, and it's amazing what can happen. 25 minutes after the hour, Kevin Lytle's going to join us from the Fort Collins, Colorado, and we'll talk some Colorado State Rams. We are about a week away from that opening kickoff against Washington. Oh, that's going to be a blowout. Rams are going to, Washington, is that even a real football team?
The Rams?
No, Washington.
Oh, yeah, we're a real football team.
Really? Because I don't think so.
We got at least 8 wins this year.
The CSU's probably going to win 30-3. They'll spot them a field
goal. Over UNC?
No, over Washington.
Washington's already up by 14 points, and the game hasn't started yet.
They're up by 20-plus. They're a 20-point favorite. 26 after the hour. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We're on for another hour, and then we're sending it over. I think the Rockies are going to get it done today. I think they're going to get it done today, Mike. How about that?
I will agree.
Yeah, you in?
I think they take the series 3-1.
If they don't win today, you don't shave your beard until whenever.
Until I get tired of it.
We'll be right back.
Is this the year the UNC Bears turn it around? Find the Football 52 podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or 1310kfka.com.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS 4 down in Denver, Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310kfka.
That might be the most positive I've been about the Rockies in a very, very long time, so I'm excited about it. Michael, we blew the clock. Look at that. The Rockies took us almost half an hour today. That is exciting for Rockies fan out there.
That's a victory for the Rockies. I think they get another one.
That's 38. That's 38 then. There we go.
And 39 this afternoon.
Yeah, sure. 31 minutes after the hour, we got Kevin Lytle joining us next. We've got to take a break. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one feeling. Like lighting that open sign for the first time. Like deciding whether or not to frame that first dollar. Like knowing every customer by name when they walk through the door. Whether you're starting from scratch or from a century of tradition, every business deserves a bank that's been growing communities for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. It's going to be a little hot today, but I think the cool weather is going to hit us maybe tomorrow and throughout the weekend. We can hope. Joining me now on the First Advantage Hotline, Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and he is the CSU Rams insider. Kevin, my man, it's good to see you last week, my friend. I look different now. I'm all shaved up, got the haircut today, so we finally got that disgusting, gross thing off my face. I feel much better.
You know, is it bad that in my head when they got to the 34, I was like, man, it'd be kind of funny if the Rockies went on like an 8-game losing streak right now.
Oh, Kevin, you wouldn't have been
is
alone.
Is that bad?
Yeah, it is bad. You're supposed to be, like, I consider us to be pretty good friends. You're supposed to be my friend, and you should have been rooting for me to lose that thing.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. Like, I get it. But, you know.
Well, they did get to 30 wins, and then they went on an 8-game losing streak. So I was like, oh, we are so close. But found a way. I mean, they're kind of getting hot right now, Kevin.
They're playing well, to be fair. I mean, I still think, you know, the core is rotten and they kind of need to blow everything up, but they got some young guys playing hard. Yeah. You can't appreciate that.
Yeah, and we'll see. If this is just, as Michael was saying earlier, is this just a streak right now? Even bad teams find it. But I think if they find a way to get to like 47 or 50 wins in the season, suddenly you're going, maybe this is a better team. But there's still like 35 games left, so plenty of time for this thing to just go haywire again. But, Kevin, we're getting darn close, man. We are about a week away from Colorado State and Washington going at it. Michael back there on the production side is a diehard Washington fan, so I'm already saying CSU's going to blow them out, man. It's going to be a blowout.
Washington's up by 27 now.
Yeah. Kevin, go ahead.
Yeah, you should tweet that and see what the fan reaction.
You know, I think I'm staying away from some of those bold predictions at this stage. But you tell me, what have you learned about this team? I know you noted in one of your articles this week, you were talking specifically about like the defensive backs and, you know, tight press coverage, trying to get interceptions. That's what Jay Norvell was talking to us about last week at Media Day, Kevin, was he wants to see an aggressive defense, not one that maybe just going to be known for making stops. He wants turnovers. He wants to flip the field.
Yeah, I mean, this defense is built on havoc, basically. The Freddie Banks defense was vanilla. It was, you know, sit there, do the same thing, hope you can stop them, and it didn't work very well. It wasn't a very good defense. They were really, really bad in the red zone. But a way you can negate, you know, in modern college football, there are going to be yards. It's almost impossible to just completely lock down an opponent. Just the way the game is built, the rules are enforced, all that. But the equalizer is turnovers. If you can create a lot of turnovers, that just changes everything. And that's what Tyson Summers' defense is built on. His Western Kentucky teams were always in the top tier in their league in turnovers, and that's what CSU needs to be. And, yeah, some of that is the DBs, and some of it is the DBs being able to cover one-on-one while you send a bunch of dudes at the quarterback to try and create those turnovers. So it's just, this defense is just going to look a whole lot different for fans. You know, sometimes changes are a little more subtle. This one's not going to be subtle.
That was kind of one of my bigger question marks, not necessarily a concern because you don't know what you don't know, but certainly a big question mark was, will this defense be as, I mean, like you said, they had their flaws last year, but will they at least be capable of making, you know, stringing together some stops, or could they potentially be better? Have you seen, again, it's practice, it's scrimmages, all that. Have you seen enough from this defense for you to at least think, yeah, I think they have a shot at being better than they were last season?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to lie. It's hard to tell because, like you say, they're playing against each other, and especially for a defense, they can't hit the quarterback in practices, all that. So there are a lot of qualifiers for a defense in practices. But I'm becoming kind of bullish on this group. I'm not saying they're going to be best in the nation, anything like that. But I think they can create some havoc. I like these linebackers, which again, they're linebackers that do a lot. Like you have a few guys that are, you know, more heavy pass rush linebackers. Some that are more your traditional, you know, sideline to sideline. But I like that group a lot, and I think that's kind of a key to this defense. I'm cautiously becoming optimistic about this defense.
Yeah, well, and that's, again, that's the big question mark for a lot of people. But who knows? This would be great if you could see a defense that is coming up with these big turnovers. Then that goes to the other side of the ball. What you're going to be asking, if you do have a good defense that's capable of that, you're going to be asking BFN all the time anyway, but to really be careful with that football. Where are you at on Braden Fowler-Nicolosi? I mean, obviously he has a chance to kind of put his name into some CSU history this season if he can perform well. So, I mean, I know there's a lot of excitement generated around him.
Yeah, I'm really intrigued to see what he does and how the offense looks. This time last year, we thought CSU was going to be throwing it around, and then Jay Norvell kind of did a late changeup on everyone. They're going to throw it around a lot more. There's going to be a lot more on BFN, as far as ability to kind of unleash the passing attack. I'm just really intrigued. I don't know what to expect. I mean, he talks the talk. He sounds like what you would expect, you know, a veteran year three starter to sound like. But, you know, we just need to see it on the field. We've seen, you know, kind of the highs and lows of it throughout. Can he do it consistently, put up those big numbers without the big turnovers of a couple of years ago? I'm just fascinated, like everyone else, to see what it looks like. I think there's some decent weapons around. The tight ends being really good, I think, is going to be a huge part of this. So that's a positive thing. The line obviously has a big say, and you know, I certainly have some question marks there. So it's still a pretty big question mark on offense right now.
Well, okay, I have a question. This is a challenge for you, Kevin. The center for Colorado State, or at least maybe the projected starter at center for Colorado State. How do you say his name? I'm curious to hear you say it, Kevin.
Yeah, Big A. Ettore Iwanagbaechea.
That's pretty good.
I say it with confidence, but not actually certain. I'm actually going to talk to Big A, hopefully early next week, get that confirmed. But yeah, he's going to start center at Washington. He's kind of taken that over in the last week plus. Because frankly, there were too many balls on the ground in practice. They needed more consistency there. He had been working at right guard, so he's been in the top group. He just moves over. And even back to spring ball, and I remember one practice, I was, I forget who I was talking to, but while doing so, Big A and a couple other guys were working after practice on snapping. So this is a thing that has been worked on for a while. It's not like a last minute, like, oh, golly, let's just try this one out. But he's moved into that spot, and he's huge. I mean, it's a big, big center and a big, big line. So they have the size. It's just going to be consistency and execution, all those things.
That was kind of one of the things. And again, I don't get too high or low on watching any kind of practice or scrimmage. But when I was out there, because I haven't been out there that much this year, but that's what I noticed, was there were a lot of high snaps, not great. And I think at one point, I don't know if it was Jay or just another coach, was like, come on, let's get the ball snapped. So that's interesting. I wish I would have highlighted that a little bit more, because it looked like the coaches are making a move to try to get better in that area.
Yeah, definitely. It's obviously, it doesn't matter what you're trying to do on offense. If the play doesn't start right with the snap, that blows everything up. So it's obviously the most crucial starting piece to a play and to the line. And Jacob Gardner was so good and so consistent for the last several years at that position. Kind of knew there'd be some growing pains, and we'll see what they're like. I mean, they've been high on Big A as a lineman for a while. It's just, you know, can't do it at center.
Kevin Lytle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado. Kevin, tell our listeners who the captains are. Coach Norvell made that announcement a couple of days ago. So who's leading this team?
Yeah, so let me see if I can remember this as we go. Tanner Morley, the big O lineman from Colorado, from Valor Christian, he's one of them. Not surprised, he's a guy that's become, you know, really one of the faces of the program, even though he is an O-lineman. BFN is voted a captain. He became a captain during the season last year, basically when Torrey Horton went down for the year, BFN took his spot. Owen Long, the linebacker, which is maybe the most surprising name, because he's a true sophomore, so young player. Norvell, I think, said that's the youngest captain he's had. But I talked to Owen at Media Days, and it didn't surprise me after that conversation to then hear his name called as a captain. He's just a guy that seems very level-headed and smart, savvy, well-appreciated and liked by teammates. So he's one. Mukinde Wakalanje, another Colorado kid from Grandview, he's been through it all. He was part of the Adazio era, has kind of gone from, you know, maybe a smaller role to a really significant player. And he's one of those, he's probably never going to make the big fiery speech, but really well respected in that room. Jacob Ellis, linebacker from Iowa State. He's a guy first year in the program, but again, really well respected. He's played a lot of college football. Him and his girlfriend actually made custom hoodies for the linebacker room, which I thought was really cool. So Ellis is another guy you'll hear from a lot. And then I believe I have them all until the last one is Jaquez Donut Evans. Again, first year in the program, But we knew back in spring that he was kind of one of the leaders. He's a pretty vocal guy. He's been in this defense. And, frankly, if CSU is going to be really good, they need Donut to have a conference player of the year type of season. And I think he has that ability.
Well, that's the guy you've been high on since day one, Kevin. You've said his name a lot on this show.
Yeah, Donut is a guy fans will see a lot or need to see a lot. He can rush the passer, but he can also do other things as a linebacker, too. I think he's going to put up some big, big numbers.
Kevin Lytle, Fort Collins, Colorado, and always appreciate you, man. Looking forward to recharging Rams Weekly beginning next week, too. So we'll get you back in studio, and we'll rock and roll in what appears to be an extremely important season for Colorado State and specifically Jay Norvell. So it's going to be fun documenting it with you, my friend.
Yeah, absolutely. It's exciting that we're actually to game time almost.
Yeah, we'll get there. We're almost a week away. We'll talk to you next week, my friend.
Thanks, Brady.
Kevin Lytle, Fort Collins, Colorado. Talking CSU. I didn't ask him about this, but Warren Jackson, I'm high on that guy. Or Jackson Warren. There's a Warren Jackson that played for CSU, and there's a Jackson Warren, so forgive me. I like the way he spells Jackson with two X's. Jaxxon. I like this dude. He's a great dude.
Is he exciting?
Yeah. Good job. I think he's going to be... I said it last year. I think this guy's going to be great. And then he got the shoulder injury. I'm just seeing clips all over the place. Like DNVR Rams. Kevin's putting stuff out. Watch out for Jackson Warren.
He's excellent.
Is that it? Did you get him out? You have one more?
I have more, okay, but get one, I shouldn't.
Go ahead. You think he's an X-man? Is that where you were going to go with your...
I mean, that's yours. You can do that.
I was watching Wolverine and Deadpool last night.
49 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
Learn all about Roosevelt Rough Riders football tonight at 5 on KFKA. Presented by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado.
This is your UNC Bears head men's basketball coach, Steve Smiley, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA. Go Bears. Shout, let it all out. These are the things
I can do without. Come on. Am I talking to you? Come on. Bring in the noise. Bring in the noise today, Mike. I like it. I'm a big Disturbed guy. I'm kind of disturbed.
Dang it, you stole the pun.
I saw your little beady eyes light up. Ooh, I'm going to do some weird nerdery thing again, but I beat you to it. That's the best way to do it.
What happens every time I make a pun?
That is one demerit. One
demerit
strike.
Thomas.
Yeah. That's two now. Yeah. Yeah. That happened. That happened yesterday. Because you couldn't figure out how to get our guest on.
His number was not in the book.
Broncos agree to terms on a trade with the Saints to acquire 4th, 7th round picks in exchange for wide receiver Devon Vele. Mike, how are we feeling about that? Devon Vele was kind of a part of this young group of receivers that we are all hoping they all take off. I'm good with it. I'm good with it.
You'll get more picks. Really liked Devon Vele, but
you did.
I think this is also a very good trade. We're so deep at wide receiver. Well, I mean, not we.
You say so deep. They have a lot of youth. I don't know that we can say like they're all really good at this point.
Well, I was saying like they're all smart and they have like knowledge of philosophy. They're very deep.
You got Cortland Sutton, so Marvin Mims, Troy Franklin, Pat Bryant, and that probably means like, so you got Sutton, Mims, Franklin, Bryant, there's four. You're going to carry 5, Trent Sherfield Sr. I know a lot of the hooligans were asking about him last week. I'm good with it. Devon Vele to me was kind of like, just a guy. But honestly, all of them, to me, I'm high on Pat Bryant. I think Pat Bryant is going to be good this year. Watch out for him. It sounds like Troy Franklin is just, I mean, from preseason and training camp, he has just emerged. So if he can get rolling. And then Marvin Mims, like that's the guy we keep thinking is going to be maybe a special type of player. Even Peyton in his rookie year apologized for like, that's my fault for not utilizing him. Big Hub says, I can see the confusion on the Warren Jackson thing. Yes, thank you. That is Jackson Warren, Warren Jackson. Eastside Chris. Lost some cash last night. Tanner Gordon outdid Otani. Nice donation. Micah, maybe his father worked for Exxon. What?
ExxonMobil.
What is, okay. Apologies, Brady. I think he's flipping me. Yeah, I think you're getting to people. They don't realize they like you, but then they one day wake up and they're like, I like him. What's that about? That is one demerit. One
demerit
strike.
Thomas.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.